Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning, Sterling Foursquare Church family. Wherever you are, I know it is a good place to be because the Lord has promised to be with you in that place, and that should be something that gives rise to hope within us. And we're going to be talking a little bit about what that looks like to have hope and to hold on to it when it seems like it could be slipping from our grasp. And you have probably been like me, going through really some ups and downs when it comes to hope just in our daily lives. It seems like I'll get my hopes up for a moment, and then there's reasons for my hope to kind of be let down a little bit. Case in point, we've been making some adjustments in our home, needing to work from home, work remotely, and to facilitate online remote school homeschooling for our children. We were facing some internet issues, and so we began to look for some solutions to that. And so we were looking at having a new internet provider for our home. We were looking to get the information for that. And so we kind of signed on, made the commitment, and started going in that direction. And then began the wait for the equipment to come, the wait for the things that we needed to get online. And so every day we would get up and the mail person would come and they would drop off the mail. You would see the Jeep go by on our rural county road. And then we would come running down to the end of the driveway and we would cross the road and we would open up the mailbox and, is it there? Nope, not today. And then the next day it was like the mail would come and there's not a lot else going on right in our lives right now. So you're just watching for the mail to come and oh, there's the mail. And so you would go down and you would open the door and you, is it here? Nope, not today. And each day my hopes were being raised and then lowered immediately as the mail door was opened and the box was still empty for what we were waiting on. And day after day after day, we were going through this until we did finally get what we were waiting for, but it had been so long, it was like you almost forgot that you were waiting for it. And it's like, oh, hey, what's this? You know, you weren't even excited about it because you couldn't realize what was taking place in that moment. And for many of us, the weeks have been kind of waning on, and our hopes have risen and then seemingly been dashed. And many people find themselves in this very circumstance. People are looking in all manner of directions for hope, right? We wake up in the morning and we open our news feed and we're hoping for some good news, and nope, it doesn't seem to be coming. We turn on the radio dial as we're going about our days and we're hoping for a good news story, and it seems like they're few and far between. We're heading to the grocery store, right, in hopes of finding those very coveted and sought after materials, and you head for the aisle and nope, it looks like things are still bare. Or maybe you're logging on to your bank account right now and you're hoping for your tax return or your stimulus check, and oh, those don't seem to be showing up either. And so there's a lot of our hopes being raised and then lowered very, very quickly. And what we want to focus on is how to sustain hope when situations look hopeless. How do we sustain hope? How do we allow hope to rise in us when our situation doesn't seem to be changing? When in fact the hopes that we have seem to be being further and further from our reach. What do we do in those type of situations? And in Jesus' day, people were in much the same place, not looking for toilet paper, but they were looking for hope. They were looking for hope, and especially the Jewish people, the people of God, feeling the oppression of the Roman Empire. There was a longing in them for the promises of God to be fulfilled in their life. And they were looking forward that with a longing heart and a longing expectation for salvation, for the Messiah to come. And as Jesus began his earthly ministry and as people began to look at the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God, hope began to rise in them that maybe this was it. This was going to be the opportunity. And they began to place their hope in him. And as we begin to celebrate Holy Week, as we begin to celebrate this day, the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, there was this eruption of praise at the arising of hope within people. That as Jesus made his way towards Jerusalem, he was moving with a whole group and an entourage of people who had been looking for hope and who had believed that they had found a place to put their hope. They had placed their hope in him. People traveling to Jerusalem were filled with hope and celebration in anticipation of the Passover, and others from Jerusalem were coming out from that place, again, moved by this hope that maybe something was going to change. If you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to go ahead and grab those out. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet at home, you can open up your Bible app. If you don't have the Bible app, there's so many out there. You can just go to your app store right now and download a free one, and you can be ready to go with us this morning. But Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your word today. Lord, we thank you that your word is living and active, and it produces life in those who apply it to themselves. And so, Lord, we ask that you would search our hearts by your word today, and that we would be moved by you to respond in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 21, you have an account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And in fact, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them have what is called the triumphal entry, or Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem recorded. We're going to be focusing on Matthew's and then correlating a couple things to some of the other gospel writers today. But if you would pick up with me in verse 8, this is where we're going to begin. Jesus has been making his way towards Jerusalem in anticipation of celebrating Passover, and he's been moving with a whole crowd of pilgrims who are all making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this occasion. And so a crowd was with him, and they all recognized who Jesus was. They all understood him to be this one who had been working miracles, this one who had been demonstrating the power of God, this one who had been really confusing the religious leaders. He had been kind of upending just kind of the religious rote mechanics of the day. And so there was a lot of buzz around him and his ministry. And so they were all moving together towards Jerusalem. And picking up in verse 8, it says that a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." There was a lot of excitement going on around Jesus and his entrance into Jerusalem. And the statements that the people were making, "Hosanna to the Son of David," that exclamation of Hosanna was really an invitation or a declaration of salvation. It was "Save us," or "Come save us," or "Save us, Lord." The people were crying out, "Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In the Gospel of John, it records that the crowd also said, "Blessed is the King of Israel." There was a declaration of faith and hope that Jesus was really this king that was being awaited. And in the Gospel of Mark, it records the crowd as saying, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." A messianic claim, a claim that salvation was at hand. And what you see within the declarations of the people and their excitement and their fanfare and their move in one accord together is that as Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, so did their hope arise. They began to be moved with such a hope that it was demonstrative, that it was declarative, that it was put on public display. And they all had expectations of what this meant. They all had expectations of who Jesus was and what he was going to do. And they all began to place their hope, but look at this, they placed their hope in their expectations. Now how do I know that? How do I understand that when it doesn't say explicitly in the text, well, they were placing their hope in their expectations? All you have to do is read the rest of what took place during that week and the response at the end of the week of the people to know that their hope was not just in a person, but their hope was in the expectation of what they thought Jesus was going to do. They had placed their hope in their expectations of who he was and what he was going to do, but then the unexpected happens. The unexpected happens. As the week wanes on, and many of you are familiar with this, Jesus is arrested. Wait, what? right? The one who was welcomed with great fanfare, the one who was celebrated on the entrance of Jerusalem. Wait, hold on. He's arrested? And then as the story begins to move from person to person, as it's told from house to house, not only was he arrested, but he was betrayed by one of his own. How could this be? What a scandal. What is taking place here? And then not only that, there's a trial, but it wasn't a public trial. It was kind of this private trial. It was done behind closed doors, and there was all kinds of things that seemed sinister and unfair. It was a sham of a trial, and there seems to be a government cover-up. All of these things are taking place and coming out in the conversations. And their hope in the expectation that he was going to overthrow Rome, their hope was being dashed. See, their hope was in what they expected Jesus to do. Their hope wasn't necessarily in who Jesus came to be. See, their hope was in an expectation that he would free them from Rome. But he came to free them from sin. Their hope was in an expectation that he was going to end the life of those who were their oppressors. But he came to give his life as a ransom for many. See, their hope was in what they expected him to do. And because those expectations weren't met, we see what the end of the week looks like. We'll be celebrating Good Friday at the end of this week. But when you read what took place there, it really wasn't that great of a day. It wasn't something that was celebrated in the moment. It was a day of great darkness and sadness and mourning. It was a day of betrayal. It was a day of wickedness and unrighteousness. It was a day where seemingly evil won. It was a great day of darkness, where hopes that had been placed in Jesus were seemingly lost, and a hopelessness enveloped the world. In fact, the darkness that the world felt, it wasn't just a spiritual darkness. Scripture records that a physical darkness took place, that the sun was covered up, that the heavens were darkened. And it was a fitting picture for what was taking place in not just the culture, but in the hearts of men and women, as hope was lost. And this week as a staff, as we were talking about what's taking place in our community and how we can respond and how we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus, how we can be heralds of good news, Pastor Tom made a fitting observation when it comes to the idea of Good Friday, when he said that we are in a season right now of Good Friday. There seems to be a season of darkness over the hearts of men, a season where hope is lost, where things that have been longed for, things that have been prepared for, seem to be slipping from our grasp, that there's a grief, that there's a mourning, that in many ways there's a scattering in our hearts due to the isolation, both physical and spiritual in many senses, that we seem to be wrestling through, that there is this sense of encroaching darkness. And Scripture tells us that really is how we feel. That's how we respond when our hopes go unrealized. When our hope goes unrealized, it begins to fade. It begins to be diminished. It seems to be slipping from our grasp, and in many ways is in danger of being lost. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it puts it this way. It says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That our insides go into upheaval when the things that we have placed our hope in seem to be ever elusive, continually out of grasp. That hope deferred, that when it's long in coming, long in being realized, that it begins to have an adverse effect on the heart and on the mind and on the soul, that it makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Right? When your hope is realized, when you've put your hope in something and it comes to pass, when you finally open the mailbox door and you see the new internet, right? Oh, I've got a bridge to the world again, right? There's a hope that rises in us when it's finally realized. But in the waiting, in the dark hours, hope begins to slip away from us. And many people right now are dealing with that. They're dealing with this sense of a hope that they had is beginning to slip from their grasp. The Message version puts it this way. It says, an unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick. And day after day, as people have checked into their news feed hoping for good news and relaxed restrictions and things being restored and returned to them, and no, there's another day, no, there's another week, no, there's another month, hope begins to slip away. At the beginning of this week, I was checking out of one of the stores that's still open in our community, and I was the only person in line, not just because of kind of the social distancing stances that they've put, the precautions that they've put in place, but it just happened to be that I was at a checkout stand, and I was the only one in the whole place, and was there for a long enough time that I began a conversation with my cashier. And I simply asked a question, how's your day? And you may be able to anticipate the response. It wasn't even a verbal response. It wasn't even a conversation that began. It was a deep, weary sigh. It was a heavy-hearted, deep-breathed sigh. And in jest, I said, hey, Could it be that bad? It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. You haven't even made it to lunch. And at that little goading statement began a conversation that revealed what was taking place in this person's heart. They were deeply fearful and they were overwhelmed. They had watched a video that morning that had filled them with dread, filled them with fear, and they were replaying that video over and over and over and over in their mind. And the places in them that had once been hopeful were now being filled with fear, filled with anxiety. And the hope that they had once had was slipping from their grasp. And they were adjusting their expectations of what the future could hold for them. And they were lowering their expectations of what good could come out of this, as they began to just replay and replay and replay that one video, that one news feed that they had let get into their heart that day. And many of us find ourselves in that place where we began this season with really great hope. It'll only be a day or two, or it'll only be a week. Things are going to be okay. It won't be as bad as it is other places. And that as day after day has kind of dragged on, there's been some adjustments in our expectations. And some of those things have caused us to have less hope. Some of the very practical adjustments that we've had to make have to do with celebrations. Right now, I'm in the process of doing premarital preparation for two couples whose weddings I'm supposed to do this summer, and we've had to move that medium to Zoom meetings. We're not even meeting in person, and now there's this anticipation as we move further and further along in this season and closer to those dates that maybe they're going to have to make postponements or adjustments. A close friend of mine in ministry, their oldest was supposed to get married this summer, and they're talking about what is it going to look like if we have to have a Zoom wedding. Is that possible? Is that something that we want? There's an adjustment of expectations, and there's a sense of grief and a sense of loss. And in many ways, what was hopeful of being a great celebration this summer, it's being marred and diminished a little bit. In our own community, as things just began, several weeks ago, there was a postponement of some important funerals for our community to come together and to recognize and to celebrate the lives of those who have been important, and they've been postponed indefinitely. Some of the other places that adjustments have been made have been in the lamenting of a loss of a school year, the loss of graduations, the loss of proms and athletic seasons, vacations, family gatherings, and you know what? Just regular conversations. As I've been out, not frequently in the community, but as I've gone out on occasion, there hasn't been a time where I have not run into somebody who wanted to talk, and it's not a small amount of conversation. It's 15, it's 20 minutes. There's this need to be connected. And there's this need to have somebody speak hope, to speak encouragement to hearts. When our hope goes unrealized, it begins to fade. And as Pastor Tom had made the casual observation, for many of us, we're in a season of Dark Friday. We're in a season of this, not Good Friday, but Dark Friday, where we feel pressed on every side, and our hope is in danger of slipping away. And what I want to remind you of this morning is, what can you do to encourage hope in the waiting? Because we're in the middle of a season really where we're being told to wait. Next week may be better, in the 3 weeks it might be better. Just hold on and it's going to get better. And many of us as believers, followers of Christ, we have a hope that's greater than our experience, greater than just what is the expectations of those around us. We've placed our hope in the Lord, but it seems like things are still slow in coming. How do we hope in the waiting? And I want to remind you that it's in this season that hope and faith hold hands. It's in the season of waiting. It's in the season where hope is not yet realized that faith and hope, they hold hands together. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we're reminded of this in the way that faith and hope interact. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith isn't hope. It's having a confidence that what is being hoped for will take place. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. If all I have is hope, the longer I go with that hope not being realized, the lower my hope sinks. The less resolve I have to hold on to that hope because it's not being realized. And Proverbs tells us that it makes our hearts sick when that takes place. But when we find ourselves in that place, when we find ourselves in a prolonged season of waiting for hope to be realized, it's faith that says we can continue to hope. It's faith that rises up and says, hold on to that hope. Faith gives us the confidence to continue to hope, even in the duration of time that would suggest things are beginning to be hopeless. Faith says to keep hoping. Our fading hope rises on faith. When what I hope for has not come, I remain hopeful in faith. My faith in who God is secures my hope for what is to come. My faith in who God is secures my hope for what is to come. And I want to give you three practical ways that you can, in faith, have confidence to still hope, even as you wait. Even as you wait maybe for good news tomorrow, even as you wait for relaxed restrictions, even as you wait for a stimulus check, or even as you wait for the grocery stores to be restocked, that as you wait, that you can still hope with great hope because it is buttressed by your faith. And there's three ways that practically faith and hope can work together. One of the ways that my faith holds up my hope is when I remember how God has proven himself faithful before, especially when it comes to my own story in my own life. For you to remember in your own life, in your own experience with the Lord, how he has shown himself faithful before, that is something that gives rise to a resolve to hope even in the season of waiting. In 2018, the state of California was overrun by multiple wildfires. All over the state, there were fires that were raging. There was all kinds of damaged property and loss of life. And one of the more notable ones during that time was the fire that took the whole city of Paradise, California, and decimated the whole thing. There was tremendous loss of property. There was tremendous loss of life during that time. It wasn't the only fire of note, but this is the one that was closest to those that I know. Because 20 minutes away from Paradise, California, is a city in California called Chico. And in Chico, California, there's a four-square church called Life Church. And the pastors of Life Church in Chico, California are Jeff and Carissa Young, and they are dear friends of Beth and I. And I had a conversation with Jeff earlier this week. We ended up just in happenstance, right? Divine appointments often look like happenstance, but we ended up in a FaceTime conversation with one another, just encouraging one another and speaking life into one another and checking in on one another's church families. Sterling Foursquare, you need to know that there are other Foursquare churches in and around not only our nation but the world who are calling to check up on you. People who are praying for you. You're not alone even in this. Even as we lift up the needs of others, you are being lifted up by your church family in the world. It's a great point of hope and reminder for our faith. But as I was talking to Jeff and I was asking him, how is your church dealing with this? How are you guys being impacted with this? How are you setting yourselves up to be used by God, the hands and feet of Jesus in a time like this? He began to speak of the way that their church has been responding. And in many ways, their faith is increased. In many ways, they're full of hope and optimism. And here's the reason why. Because in 2018, they went through the fire. They've gone through hard things before. And it was only a couple years back, and for them to go through this kind of downturn in the economy, they had that locally already. They've walked through incredible loss. They've mourned as a family, and they've grieved as a community, and they've come out on the other side knowing that God is faithful, and so they're looking at their situation now and saying, God was faithful then, He'll be faithful today. And hope is rising in that community. And on that hope, they are moving to impact the community around them for the gospel, because they in their own story know where God has already shown Himself to be faithful. See, one of the ways that we encourage hope in the season of waiting for our hopes to be realized is to be reminded that God has proven Himself faithful in our own story. But just as Jeff was sharing about the impact that that had on his church family, him sharing the story with me increased my faith. Even as I share it with you today, doesn't your hope rise on the thought that God was faithful in something like that? In our own community, it was several years ago where we were decimated by the flood. It wasn't that long ago where we were dealing with similar situations within our community as far as shortages and adjustments to life that were brought on by the flood. And God was faithful then, was He not? And when we are reminded of not just what God has done in our story, but in the stories of others, our faith gives rise to hope. Even though we're waiting, even though the darkness seems to be crouching in, even though it seems to be like a day after day after day, a season after season of Good Friday, where it seems like hope is being deferred, where it seems like hopelessness is just on the horizon, when it seems like the things that we are reaching for are just out of grasp, our faith gives rise to hope because God has proven Himself before and He will prove Himself faithful again. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells us to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, relentlessly hold to the hope that we have, for He who promised is faithful. How do you hope in the waiting darkness? You remind yourself of how God has proven Himself faithful in your own story. You remind yourself of how His power has been displayed and His grace has been put on display in the lives of others as I share the story and the testimony of what took place in the Foursquare Church in Chico, California, our hope can give rise to that. And as we're reminded of our own story, our hope can rise from that. We can go to Scripture and look at men and women of faith who endured incredible hardships, and when we see the faithfulness of God in their stories, then our faith rises and holds up our hope and says, even in the waiting, I will yet hope. Even in the darkness, I will still hope, because I know a light is coming. I know a light is coming. And the third way that you and I can allow faith to rise up in us that holds our hope up against the hopelessness that's on the horizon is we remember the promises of God. We remember the promises of God. Again, in that Hebrews 10, chapter or verse 23, the end of that verse says that he who promised is faithful. Scripture tells us that the promises of God are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friend, God will prove himself faithful to his promise. And so if we could be reminded of what his promises are and how those things are to be applied to our lives, then we can have great courage come from our faith being restored and our hope being held up by that faith, knowing that God will be faithful to his word. As an encouragement for that this week, each day starting on Monday, leading up to Good Friday this week, we've got our pastors on staff who are going to be giving a devotional. So each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this week is a devotional being led by our pastors and ministry leads here at the church. It'll be on our Facebook platform and I believe on our website as well. But it's going to be highlighting the promise of God and the way that we can stand, the way that we can respond to those things, the way that we can apply those things to our life. And each day as we move towards the celebration of Easter this week, you and I can be reminded of God's promises. And when we go back to those who had celebrated the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem with great fanfare as they had expressed their hope in him as the Messiah, but been disillusioned and found themselves in hopelessness because those hopes weren't realized, because they had placed it in their expectations but not in him as the person. They had placed it in how they believed it was going to end up, rather than focusing on Jesus regardless of the circumstance. Even though they hoped in the wrong thing, their hope was placed in the right direction. He really was the one that they should have hoped for. Hope wasn't lost just because they had kind of misdirected it. He was the Messiah, wasn't he? He did come to bring freedom. He did come to bring salvation. He did come to deliver deliverance to the people. It just didn't look like what they thought it was supposed to. But it didn't mean that he wasn't faithful, and it didn't mean that he wasn't true. And so they went through this season of sensing hopelessness. But we know the end of the story, don't we? We know that Jesus rose. We know that he brought deliverance and salvation. And we know that their hope ultimately was not disappointed. And there's a passage in Scripture in Isaiah chapter 49. God is speaking to his people through the prophet Isaiah, and they're in a time of exile. They are in a time of deep abandonment, in a sense. And there was a longing in them for their nation to be restored, a longing in them to be recovered to the Lord. And God begins to speak to them of the time where he would restore the nation, where he would bring salvation, where there was going to be a reversal of their present circumstance. And as he begins to direct their attention to that and how he was going to bring it about, in Isaiah chapter 49, the third part of verse 23, God is speaking to his people and he says this, "Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that those who hope in me will not be disappointed." Friends, as you have been looking for hope in the last several weeks, maybe you've looked for a hopeful report in your news feed. Maybe you've looked for a hopeful balance in your checking account. Maybe you've looked with a hopeful gaze down the paper product aisle at your big box store, as you have been looking for hope, may I remind you that there is one place that you can put your hope today where you will not be disappointed. God has promised to be faithful to his promises. He has promised to be faithful to his people. In Isaiah 49, he lets us know in no uncertain terms that if we would put our hope in him, we will not be disappointed. When I put my hope in my expectations of what that's supposed to look like, sometimes I'm disappointed. When I put my hope in other things, when I put my hope in my own effort, when I put my hope in my own desire for how things are supposed to turn out, there are many times where I find myself disappointed. But when you and I choose to put our hope, not in our expectations of what God is supposed to do, but when we put our hope in him, he has promised that regardless of how the details are fleshed out around us, we ultimately will not be disappointed when we place our hope in him. And so my question for you today, my question to consider in my own person is, where have I placed my hope? Is it securely placed in God's faithfulness to his promises? Or is it in your expectations of how those promises are supposed to be fulfilled? Is your hope in him, or is your hope in your expectations of what you want him to do? Place your hope in him, even if it seems deferred, even if it seems like there's going to be a time that passes that may begin to make your heart feel sick, and as you have to wait, and as that sense of deferred hope begins to press in, instead of giving over yourself to a heart sickness, give yourself over to a reminder in faith that God has always been faithful. That behind you is a story of God's faithful promises being experienced in your own life. And so because he has been faithful to you, he will continue to do that. Maybe your story doesn't have that. Maybe you haven't been journeying with Jesus. Maybe you haven't been inviting the Lord to impact your life in those ways. Then look to the lives of those who would offer their testimony to you today. And they would say, look, God was faithful in this time and in that time, and he would be faithful for you if you would put your hope in him. And if there's no story around you, if there's no testimony for you to hear from those who are close to you, then remind yourself of God's promises. Get into your Bible this week and see what he has to say about how he cares for his people, and be reminded of those promises and respond to those in faith today. Place your hope in him, even if it's deferred, and in faith, place your hope in him again, even in that sense of waiting. He has promised that you will not be disappointed. Worship team, if you would come forward today. Friends, I'm going to take a moment to pray with you. If you would be comfortable, I would invite you to just place your hands out in front of you as if you were offering yourself to the Lord, as if you were presenting yourself to him today. Lord, we come before you and we acknowledge that there are times where we have misplaced our hope. Lord, we've placed our hope in what we desire as the outcome. Lord, sometimes we place our hope in our expectations of what you should do. Lord, there's times where we place our hope in ourselves or in the leaders around us. Lord, we put our hope in our riches and our resource. Lord, we put our hope in our own ingenuity, in our own creativity. Lord, we are tempted to place our hope in so many directions. But Lord, we're reminded today that there's only one place that we can go where our hope won't be disappointed. And that's to you. Jesus, we declare today that we place our hope in you. Lord, much like the crowds that shouted Hosanna, that invited you to save, Lord, we do that today, but without the expectation of how you have to do that. Lord, knowing that that's an invitation to disappointment when you have a greater plan, when you have a different way. And so, Lord, in faith, we believe that you are good, that your mercy endures forever, that your promises are yes and amen for your people, that you work every situation for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, because of your promises, because of your faithfulness to those, we give rise to a faith in us that says, even if this is a season where we have to wait, we will still hope with great hope. That even if this is a season of Good Friday after Good Friday after Good Friday, that we will still hope. That we would place our hope in you. And Lord, that out of that would rise a hope in us that spills out to the community around us. Lord, that we wouldn't just have hope for our own situation, hope for our own hearts, but Lord, that we would be heralds of hope, that we would initiate conversations that invite people to have a hope that goes beyond their expectations, that has a hope to go beyond their experience, to put their hope not in an outcome, but to put their hope in a person. We do that today, Jesus. And we know that as we put our hope in you, that we will not be disappointed. And we thank you for that truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have a few action steps to encourage you this week just to keep hope in front of you and to respond in a way that keeps that hope alive. Number one is determine, right? Determine. That means make a choice to place your hope in Jesus. You got to start there. Hope put in other places is going to be disappointed. Number two, in faith, continue to hope even in the waiting. And then number three, offer the hope that you have to others around you. Have an answer for the reason why you have such great hope. And we also want to invite you this week. We are going to be making an announcement on a community-wide activity that we're going to be doing. Sign up for our news feed, our email, be aware of those platforms. But we're going to be doing a partnership with a number of businesses in our community for this Easter week. We want to make sure that you're able to participate in that. So make sure that you are paying attention to those things and get that information as it comes available. Thank you.